The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Today's vision news is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. First up today from DisabilityRightsNC.org, the 2024 Disability Advocacy Conference. DRNC presents It's On, Olmsted Now in NC. 2024 Disability Advocacy Conference. Join Disability Rights North Carolina in celebrating the 25th anniversary of the Olmsted decision at our annual statewide conference, It's On, Olmsted Now in NC. In commemorating this landmark legal decision, we reflect on 2.5 decades of advocating for the rights of people with disabilities to live and receive services in their community. DRNC recognizes that there is much more work to be done and the call for action cannot wait. Together we can make it happen. It's on. Register now at the hot link. Watch our 2023 conference recap video at that hot link. Details, Wednesday, May 1st, at 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., full day. Location, McKimmon Center, 1101 Gorman Street, Raleigh, NC, 27606. Add to calendars, Google, Yahoo, Outlook, and ICS for iCal and Outlook. Share on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, and email. From AARP.org, U.S. proposes new plan to protect wheelchair users while traveling. Rule would require prompt action by airlines when wheelchair is damaged and provide training for workers. The U.S. Department of Transportation on Thursday proposed a new rule designed to improve the flying experience for passengers who use wheelchairs. The proposal requires that airlines that damage or delay the return of a wheelchair will be in violation of the Air Carrier Access Act and subject to a fine. According to a press release from the DOT, this rule would hold air carriers accountable when a device is damaged. In addition, the proposed rule requires stronger training for airline employees who handle wheelchairs or assist in the transfer of passengers from a wheelchair to an airplane seat. The training would be required annually. During a town hall at the White House, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg said, despite a lot of progress, transportation remains inaccessible for too many, and that is certainly true in aviation. I've heard so many stories from friends, from advocates, and from many people in this room about damage to wheelchairs, injuries to people's dignity, and sometimes injuries to people's person as part of the travel experience. In addition, if a wheelchair is damaged, Buttigieg said airlines would be required to provide passengers the option to use their preferred vendor to repair or replace the wheelchair. According to the DOT, 11,527 mobility devices were mishandled by air carriers in 2023. This is from data air carriers report to the agency. As someone who does travel with a wheelchair, I can't tell you how many times I've seen my own assistive devices and others broken, said Senator Tammy Duckworth, Democrat, Illinois, during the discussion at the White House. And people don't realize that this is a part of my body. If this is broken, you've broken my legs. Currently, passengers who use wheelchairs can't use their own devices on planes. The passengers give up their assistive devices and are transferred to an airplane seat. Last year, Delta Airlines unveiled a prototype for an in-flight docking system that would allow passengers to bring mechanized wheelchairs on airplanes and remain seated for the duration of the flight. Before the proposal can become a rule, it must go through a public comment period of 60 days. DOT will review the input and either move forward with the process or modify the proposal. The DOT says the proposed rule would represent the largest expansion of rights for airline passengers who use wheelchairs since 2008. In July, the agency finalized a rule to make airline lavatories accessible to people with disabilities. When somebody cannot travel because somebody else has decided that it's too hard to accommodate them, the world shrinks, Buttigieg said. He added that in addition to the world shrinking for the traveler, it shrinks for everybody else. The next piece came by way of Molly Burke's video clips from hdsunflower.com, a symbol for non-visible disabilities. What is the Hidden Disabilities Sunflower? The Hidden Disabilities Sunflower is a simple tool for you to voluntarily share that you have a disability or condition that may not be immediately apparent, and that you may need a helping hand, understanding, or more time in shops, at work, on transport, or in public spaces. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Globally, 1 in 7 of us live with a disability. That is approximately 1.3 billion people. But while some of us experience a disability that is visible, many have a non-visible condition or experience a combination of both visible and non-visible conditions. These disabilities can be temporary, situational, or permanent. They can be neurological, cognitive, and neurodevelopmental, as well as physical, visual, auditory, and include sensory and processing difficulties. They can also be respiratory as well as chronic health conditions, such as arthritis and diabetes, chronic pain, and sleep disorders, making the invisible visible. As diverse as these conditions are, so are your individual access needs and the barriers you face in your daily life. So you can opt to wear the sunflower to discreetly be seen in shops, at work, on transport, or in public spaces. A space to inform and be informed. Get insights into what non-visible disabilities are, how the sunflower supports people with hidden disabilities, and listen to our sunflower wearers sharing their individual moments and experiences. From HelenKeller.org, a review of the HumanWear NLS e-reader, a free braille display for NLS patrons in the U.S. Learn about the capabilities and settings of the HumanWear NLS e-reader and how it connects to various devices. Posted March 13th by Scott Davert, Coordinator, Technology Research and Innovation Center, Helen Keller National Center for Deafblind Youths and Adults. Introduction. The National Library Service for the Blind and Print Disabled, NLS, Library of Congress, has been known for distributing materials to eligible patrons for many years in specialized formats. Not only is NLS known for their distribution of content, but it is also known for loaning equipment needed to consume the materials it makes available. While NLS has offered the downloading of both audio and braille content for years, they have not offered a way for patrons to consume the digital braille content until recently. Braille content, though available, required the user to own a braille device to read the material. NLS is now distributing two different models of braille displays to its patrons who request them. The model the patron receives will depend on which device their state library loans out. One way to get more general information about the NLS e-reader program is to read this article from the APH Connect Center. There's a hot link for that. The state where I live is one of those which distributes the NLS HumanWear e-reader. I recently signed up to receive one, particularly since the braille display I typically use had been to be sent back after 3 years of use for cleaning and a new battery. While the feature set does not encompass what I have available on my device, it has a lot to offer and was free of charge. With some modifications to my workflow, I'm finding that the HumanWear NLS e-reader works quite well as a backup. Though I'm aware of the NLS e-reader being distributed by Zumax in other states, the state I live in only provides the HumanWear device. What's in the box? Upon arrival, the box contained the e-reader, USB-A to USB-C cable, USB to AC charging brick with a Braille NLS label on it, the user guide in hard copy Braille, lanyard, and a cable allowing the connection of NLS cartridges to the e-reader to load content which had been received by postal mail. Having an embossed copy of the user guide has been very helpful as a reference. This is particularly beneficial for those who prefer not to operate two pieces of technology simultaneously, but are not yet familiar enough with the e-reader to begin using it. Description. The HumanWear NLS e-reader is a 20-cell braille display featuring an ergonomic Perkins-style keyboard, 16 gigabytes of internal memory, and the ability to connect to external media through the USB-A port and SD card reader. This meant that when I needed to move data from my primary device to this one, I was able to put the SD card in the e-reader and have all my files available. It is also capable of connecting up to 5 Bluetooth devices and 1 USB device for use with a screen reader. The e-reader also offers Wi-Fi support so that a patron can download Braille content from the NLS, NFB Newsline, and Bookshare. The device also has the ability to keep track of the time and date. It measures 7.2 inches long by 3.3 inches wide by 0.8 inches thick and weighs 0.88 pounds. It is important to note that this is a quote-unquote reader and not a device intended for taking notes and performing other writing functions. Also worth noting, though, is that the NLS e-reader can connect to screen readers such as VoiceOver, JAWS, and NVDA, permitting the user to write with the Perkins-style keyboard. Those familiar with the Brilliant B120X or Chameleon 20 are already acquainted with the physical appearance of the HumanWare NLSE reader. Positioning the device so the space bars are closest to you, the layout is as follows. On the front edge, from left to right, are 5 buttons. First is the up thumb key, followed by the left thumb key, which is about twice as long as the up thumb key. In the middle is a circular-shaped button known as the select key. To the right of the select key is the right thumb key, followed by the down thumb key. The right thumb key is larger than the down thumb key. The 2 larger thumb keys on the front of the device are what pan the display back and forth. The up and down thumb keys are used for navigational purposes that depend on the application in use and how they are configured. An easy way to remember which key performs which function is that each of the rectangular buttons has a line on that part of the button. For example, there is a raised line on the full top edge of the up key arrow, and one along the right edge for the right arrow. On the left side, you will find 4 items. Moving from front to back, you will encounter holes for a lanyard strap to be attached. Behind this, the user will find a USB-A port used for inserting a thumb drive. Continuing to explore the left side, the item behind the USB-A port is the power button. Pressing and holding it for several seconds will toggle the power, and a quick press when the device is on will either wake it up or put it to sleep. Behind the power button is a USB-C port for charging or connecting the e-reader to a computer. Another hole is located on the right side of the device and is the closest thing to the user on that side. Behind this, the user will find 2 volume buttons and a 3.5mm headphone jack, which is covered. These volume buttons and 3.5mm headphone jack are used on the Brilliant and Chameleon, but are not utilized with the e-reader program. On the top surface, the keys located closest to you are 2 space bars. Behind these, you will find the 20 Braille cells with a corresponding cursor routing key behind each cell. Behind the cursor routing keys is a standard 8-dot Perkins-style Braille keyboard. Along the back side of the display, you will find an SD card reader. The underside of the HumanWare NLSE reader has a Braille serial number and 4 rubber feet to hold it in place. It's important to note that though the HumanWare e-reader is in the body of a Brilliant, the software is not the same, nor are some of the keyboard shortcuts. For example, space with M on the Chameleon and Brilliant is used to go to the relevant context menu. On the HumanWare NLS e-reader, the user would press space with H to launch this menu, and would press space with M to go back to the e-reader's main menu. Settings. The reading experience on the NLSE reader is one that is highly customizable through the settings application. Among the configurable options, the ability to turn on airplane mode, toggle Wi-Fi, Bluetooth settings, software update, the ability to remove blank lines, the ability to have format markers inside files, whether to get vibratory or audio feedback of messages, whether the cursor should be visible, word wrap, the ability to change the functions of the thumb keys, auto-scroll, Braille reflow, one-handed mode, and a few other options. For an explanation of any of these settings, a patron can consult the already available user guide on the e-reader or download it for consumption on another device. NLS has also made video tutorials which are available on YouTube. File Manager. This application allows you to browse, open any supported files, delete, copy, cut, paste, and search for a file within multiple connected drives. I found that even when a drive contains hundreds of files, searching only takes a few seconds. You can only search for a file name, not its contents. This application will display all files located on a drive, and pressing .8 on a supported file will open it in the book Reader. Supported file types include BRF, PEF, TXT, HTML, DOCX, NISO, DAISY text only, PDF, and RTF. Absent from the supported file types are DOC files, which are an old Microsoft Word format not commonly used in 2024. Getting content. There are many ways in which one can transfer files to the HumanWare NLS e-reader. It's even possible to do so without connecting your e-reader to the internet. If a patron prefers, they can receive their NLS material on specialized cartridges. After the patron connects the cartridge with the included USB-A cable, the files on the cartridge will be automatically copied to the e-reader's internal memory. After this is complete, the e-reader will report that the copy process was successful. Using the file manager, a patron can not only manage downloaded content, but also copy material to and from SD cards and thumb drives. When connecting to a PC, the NLS e-reader will show up as a connected drive, so the files can be transferred directly from your computer. When acting as an external drive, the e-reader behaved in the same way as an externally connected memory card or drive. Transfer speeds were quick, and no setup needed to occur. There is also an option to disable this behavior so that the e-reader will not show up as a drive. This can be disabled by going to the device's internal settings menu, then user settings, and turning off the option called MTP, which stands for Media Transfer Protocol. For those running macOS, you will need to install an application called macOS Fuse for the e-reader's content to show up in Finder. On Wi-Fi, the e-reader can connect to NLS Bard, NFB Newsline, and Bookshare. All three services require a username and password to get access. If the user is unable to log in with their provided username and password, it is also possible to create a text file with the username and password, which can then be transferred to the e-reader. Though I did not find any challenges entering the information on the e-reader in uncontracted Braille, I've read of some issues individuals have encountered. Thankfully, NLS has given patrons another way to get the information into the device. Similarly, if the patron struggles to enter the correct connection information, there is an export connection feature, which can allow them to import the connection information using the same method. Below is a description of using each of the online services along with my feedback. Bookshare. Within the Bookshare application, you will find the option to configure your account and to choose your preferred format. I recommend DAISY for its increased navigability. After logging into Bookshare, you can search by title, author, keyword, or to perform a full text search. There are also options to browse by most popular, recently added, and category. Once you perform a search or browse through one of the options listed, you will be presented with a list of titles. To get more information, select the title to be presented with options to download, learn the author, or read the synopsis. I find it convenient to search and download content internally, though it would be even better if the author was shown in the list of results without having to press enter to get more information. This is especially true when looking for a common title of a book, where the quickest way to find what I want is by finding the author. However, if that author has many books, this can also slow down the hunting process. NFB Newsline. The first option in this application is Configure Account, which not only allows you to log in, but gives you the option to set how often you would like your list of publications to be updated. There is also an option to set whether old issues of publications will be deleted when new ones arrive. If you already have a list of favorites, they will automatically be added to the list of content you will download. You can add other publications by selecting Manage Publications from the Applications menu, and then selecting the periodical to which you want to subscribe. Press space with E when done. Though I enjoy the ability to sync publications, it's been my experience that the NFB Newsline service is not always available for use on the e-reader. In some circumstances, the connection issue appears to be with specialized devices, such as note takers and braille displays, which have the support integrated. On a couple of occasions, the e-reader reported that the service was unreachable, though pulling up the website or using the iPhone application still worked reliably. NLS Bard. Both the book and magazine collections are available, but not Braille music. You can browse the most recent and most popular books by category. There are also options to search the collection, browse your download history, browse by most recently added magazines, and to browse your download history. Just like when searching for material on Bookshare, you are only presented with the title of the books in your search results and must press .8 to get more info, including the name of the author. Since the download content is in .brf format, you will not have access to the additional navigation options available from the DAISY content offered on Bookshare and NFB Newsline. I found downloading content from the NLS Bard service convenient and have enjoyed using it for magazines. Putting the read back in e-reader. The book reader application can be launched from the main menu or by pressing .8 on a supported file. Most files will load within a second of being selected, though some longer books require a little wait time. For example, I downloaded on the air the Encyclopedia of Old Time Radio, a very large book. Loading the DAISY text version after downloading took roughly 25 seconds. The .brf version of the same book loaded within 5 seconds. However, in this case, I'm willing to wait since the DAISY content permits me to have more navigation options. Specific to this book, it allows me to quickly jump from program to program when I want to browse for new information. You can also jump quickly between sections and articles when viewing content downloaded from NFB Newsline. Sections are typically at heading level 2, while individual articles are usually at heading level 3. When you have set the navigation to what you prefer, using space plus J, you can then press the up and down keys to jump by that chosen element. Only those navigation options available for the currently open book will be shown. Possibilities include sentence, paragraph, level, percentage, and bookmark. It would be handy to have hotkeys to jump to specific elements within the open book, instead of having to go to a menu to jump directly to the next heading level 3, for example. It would be much quicker if there was a hotkey to do this. You can also activate auto-scroll when reading. I found that the e-reader retained my speed as time went along, and that it continued to do so after roughly an hour of reading. As long as the e-reader hasn't been in the file the user was reading at the time the battery dies, that it retained the reading position reliably. Speaking of retaining places in written material, the patron also has the ability to set multiple bookmarks within a file. This is an option I wish I had while in college. It would have made jumping directly to content much more efficient. Overall, I enjoy reading on the e-reader and the large number of connectivity options available. Connecting for use as a braille display. According to the user guide, the screen readers supported include VoiceOver for Apple products, NVDA, and JAWS. It is possible to connect up to 5 Bluetooth devices and 1 USB device at a time, and then switch between any of the desired connections. I found that when switching among connected devices, that the e-reader would often display what was on the screen of the last connected device until something is done to wake up the connection in focus. Pressing space with .1 or any other command to send something to the newly connected screen reader will bring up the content from the channel the user has switched to. NVDA 2024.1, JAWS 2024, iOS 17.4, and macOS Sonoma were used to conduct this evaluation. Though TalkBack with Android was not mentioned as being officially supported yet, I also tried this using a Pixel 7. Android. Android 13 brought the ability for some braille displays to connect through USB and ... came with the option to connect braille devices to TalkBack. The standard used by the e-reader is one established in 2018, which was agreed to by Google, Apple, Microsoft, and many AT vendors. As of this writing, Google has failed to develop any sort of Bluetooth-compatible solution for this standard. As such, there is no way the user can connect the e-reader to Android. USB connectivity is available, but my testing found that the USB connection was not stable. When the connection dropped, the e-reader had to be restarted to resume internal operation. iOS 17.4. I was able to connect to my iPhone 14 Pro Max without any challenges. Most of the Braille display commands for iOS are supported, though there are a few exceptions at the time of writing. The NLS e-reader is experiencing issues surrounding text selection commands, getting .8 to enter a new line, or activate the send button, and some of the keyboard's emulation commands are not functioning as expected. For more specific info about these challenges and more information about Braille on OS in general, you can check out this guide from Apple Viz. I updated regularly, with the most recent update being November 2023. For those who prefer to listen to the information in audio form, I have produced a three-part series on Braille displays with iOS for the Braille Lists Foundation, which also has transcripts available. I'm sharing these resources since I did not find any detailed information in the user guide of the e-reader. There are hot links for those things. As I mentioned above, I was able to utilize the NLS e-reader to offset the issue I had with not having the display I would normally use available. This has largely been possible due to the robust Braille support implemented by Apple. I am able to use the e-reader for all aspects of my life as they pertain to iOS devices. That means having access to online banking, the ability to manage email, making phone calls through text relay, recognizing photos, and so many things are still accessible to me as a deafblind person. Even though my primary display is out of action, I am not. macOS. As long as VoiceOver is running, the e-reader is connected through USB and is in the Braille display interface. The Mac and Braille display should start working together almost instantaneously. I did find that the Bluetooth connection, as with many Braille devices running on macOS, was a bit unstable. When the e-reader would stop responding, pressing Command with F5 to unload and then again to reload VoiceOver typically resolved these issues. This happened less frequently over USB, though the same fix was also effective. The user guide doesn't provide much information pertaining to using the e-reader on the Mac. However, this support article from Apple, Hotlink, may assist in getting started with VoiceOver and Braille displays in general. There are also linked articles on this page which go into greater detail regarding using a Braille display with an Apple computer. NVDA. I'm out of time for this week's Vision News. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138.